Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Skateboarding, sport climbing, surfing, new Olympic sports. I don't mind surfing. It's hard to watch, though. Hard to watch that, you know, on Peacock, NBC, wherever you're watching. None of these things will rival the NFL or college football, and that's where our next guest stars. Mike Yam, formerly of the Pac-12 Network, now with the NFL Network, and also recently announced he will be the studio host for the CW. I talked to the president of the CW, Dennis Miller, this morning for quite a bit, and Mike Yam came up. He's excited to see Yam in a studio setting. I am as well. ACC, Pac-12 games, Mike Yam in studio. Come on. Plus, I have so much to talk about on the NFL. Yam, thanks for making time.
All right. So I'm going to admit something. I was hoping that when the CW news came out that I would get an invite to hop on with you. And then you start the segment and you start talking about skateboarding. I thought you were playing off the music on the in bump coming in, because wasn't that like perfect? I hear like grunge rock music. I think skateboarding. I think the 90s and the whole thing. So anyway, I'm taking you down a path that you probably don't want to go, but I always appreciate the invite.
It's X Games like. And I thought, When I saw the official announcement, because I kind of had a whisper that you were involved, and I was excited that you're going to be there, and that, by the way, the Pac-12 Enterprises will be producing this stuff. So correct me if I'm wrong. You'll be in the Bay Area doing the studio show for the CW, ACC, Pac-12 stuff.
It's crazy. It really is. I will be. So when the new studio came together, I was not a part of the network at that point, but I had gotten a text from Mike Molinari, who, your listeners, basically, if you watch the game on Pac-12 Network, that was like a high-level game. Mike was the one producing it. But Mike now, obviously, is now working for the conference side. I got a text from him, I don't know, like 2 months ago, whatever it was at this point, and he said, any interest in coming back? So I'm like, Mike, come back to what, bro? Like, there's no network. And so he said, no. He's like, we're actually handling the production for the CW. And I said, hey, no question that I'm in. As long as NFL Network says yes, I'm 100% there. What do I need to do? And it came together. Super thankful to, obviously, Teresa, who's now the commissioner. It's awesome, man. So yes, I will be back in the Bay.
Well, so give us an idea. Do you have any kind of insight on what that will look like? Because I know there's going to be some doubleheaders with Pac-12 games following ACC games. There may be, according to the president of the CW, some strategy there. Like, you may see Cal or Stanford playing in an ACC game, quickly followed by Washington State or Oregon State playing on the CW. And, will your show come in at halftime, between games? How will that work?
Yeah, so it's still a little bit TBD. It's actually funny that we're having this conversation, because a couple hours ago I was putting into my calendar all of the dates and the days that I'm going to be there and the games that we're going to have. And, in our programming grid, it just says ACCF. So I know, hey, it's an ACC football game that we're going to have. I don't know what the matchup is, and obviously we won't know for a little bit. But we'll do a little hit in the pregame. We won't have like a full pregame show, but we'll hit the open. We have halftimes and then fills. And as we'll go to local programming. We'll have to fill if the game goes a little bit short. But there's a ton of inventory. In fact, if you're a sports fan, I didn't even realize this. I knew ACC was on the network a year ago, but as I'm looking at this programming grid, if you're a golf fan, well, Live Golf is there. If you're a NASCAR fan, there's NASCAR that's also there. So there's some double headers. There's some triple headers. Those are going to be some longer days in studio, but it's going to be a ton of fun and just familiar people, right? Like on the West Coast, Max Brown is going to be calling ACC games. We know Max from Pac-12 Network, and obviously he was quarterback at SC before, and then he obviously went to Pitt. Nigel Burton is going to be in studio with me. Eric Coleman's going to be in studio with me. Michael Bumpus is going to be in studio. So a rotation on that side. I know Nigel's going to be calling some games. Bumpus is going to be calling some games. We've got Ted Robinson, JB Long. It does start Cam Irwin. Starts to feel like a little, Pac-12 Network 2.0 here.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I don't mind. Also, the CW making a commitment, and I know the numbers for the ACC games last year really were dependent on who was playing. Florida State played in a game, drew more than 1 million viewers. Some other schools that, were not great matchups, it was like 300,000 or 400,000 viewers. I think the hope now is that, you know, they'll build audience, the studio show being involved, and then the president of the CW said, hey, we're going to have like a Saturday coming up, you know, in the fall where there will be 15 hours of straight sports programming between golf, NASCAR, the ACC, and the Pac-12. This is not Dawson's Creek. This is going to be a sports thing now.
By the way, I did get some Dawson Creek text messages coming in when the announcement went through.
Right.
I'm with you. You know, it's crazy because we spend so much time, and John, you know this, just covering the league and just, you know, just some sports media in general, where all the streamers are coming in, right? Like the NBA with Amazon now, and you know, we've seen Apple get MLS, for example, Netflix getting the Christmas Day games, and like, which is going to be sort of amazing. But for as much as the streamers are definitely players, I think you look at a place like the CW and the penetration across the board. I haven't done the math on this one, John, and maybe you're definitely more astute on some of this stuff than I am and probably already have. But if I'm not mistaken, this is me just guessing. This upcoming season for Washington State and Oregon State, they will probably have more people watching their games this season than they had maybe in the 10 years that they were on Pac-12 Network, just in terms of like available homes, because CW is everywhere. And this has been a major issue for the conference. So I actually give the league a lot of credit for checking that box. Like, hey, like one of the issues was money. The other issue is visibility. Well, the visibility box just got checked. And then hopefully the money box gets checked as they figure out the next steps for the conference.
Yeah, the Pac-12 Network was available in 15% of households. The CW in 100% of households. You know, the number there, when you start to look at tracking the numbers, you know, across, you know, everything, we're talking about 125 million TV households on the CW and about, you know, 14 million on the Pac-12 network. So you're right. It's not quite 10 years worth, but you're right. 8.5, you know, 9. Yeah. Like that's sort of the math. Now, They're going to have to draw eyeballs, though. The potential's there.
Oh, yeah.
How important is it that these teams are good?
They got to be good. And look, at the end of the day, that's really the only thing that matters, right? I mean, if you win, people will have to watch. If they're winning games and they're having, you know, I don't know if they have the type of season that they had, you know, last season, either one of those teams, because there's obviously a lot of, you know, changes, personnel. I mean, head coach, for example, at Oregon State. But, you know, the point is, if you're able to win, people will have to start paying attention. Expanded playoff, all of a sudden, hey, like, you know, can these teams compete? Strength of schedule is then going to become a little bit of a factor here. And, you know, the knock maybe on what is available in terms of some of that inventory, they got to take care of business. And, you know, the reality is, you know, the Mountain West, and I know there's a lot of these opponents on the schedule, you know, if you want to call a spade here, you know, the Mountain West and non-con did pretty good against Pac-12 teams for a long period of time here. So these are not necessarily gimme games for Washington State and for Oregon State. But to your point, like the only thing that will matter, eyeballs is great. They'll be available for people to watch. But if they're not performing at a high level, you know, most people are going to flip. They're probably going to go watch a highlight show and say, hey, what did I miss from earlier today from a bigger program maybe that is going to be a playoff team? So these teams have to handle business on Saturday so they stay relevant and take advantage of being in all those households.
Yeah, because if you get, let's just say, like last year, Clemson and North Carolina State played in a game on the CW, drew about 650,000 viewers. If you get that game as your lead-in and you're good, you know, you're going to hold that audience and then some.
Yeah.
And so that becomes the challenge. I think Washington State will be good. I think they're going to win eight and a half is what the number is for me. But I look at Oregon State and I go, gosh, I'm a little nervous about Trent Bray, first year, first time head coach. We all know what a transition can be. There was a bloodbath in the portal. You know, can they win? Can they be a bowl eligible team? If they can, I think they'll be fine. We're talking to Mike Yam, NFL Network and the CW, where he'll be doing some studio work. Let's pivot a little bit to the NFL. I was talking about the 49ers in the last segment. We've got Trent Williams holding out, wants more guaranteed money. You got Brandon Ayuk and that soap opera a little bit. You got quarterbacks getting paid, Brock Purdy. You know, will he be a $50 million guy, or will Lynch and Shanahan go, look, you are a product of your system, take less money, you know, and bank on the system? What's going to happen here? What's going on with 49er in this contract hell?
He's going to get paid. Brock is going to get paid. I think the test cases that we are seeing right now have now fallen into place there where Brock Purdy is smiling ear to ear. Dak Prescott should be smiling ear to ear. When there's concern about the health of Tua staying healthy for an entire season, and you want to talk about, look, you mentioned product of the system. I actually like Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy deserves way more credit than the haters sometimes give him. Sure. But if Tua is going to go and get that type of deal, right, like there's something to be said for that. Jordan Love took advantage of his opportunities. And by the way, that's the only thing they asked for. Like, can the guy go and play and execute? And Jordan Love did. It's the future of that franchise. I mean, the transition plan from Favre now to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love makes sense, but it's still 1 year of good play. How do you price out Brock Purdy based off of what those two guys alone? Like, Brock Purdy's going to get over $200 million. Like, and if not, then what's your option? Where do you go? Because I think, you know, one of the things that we've talked about for a while, and I was just having this conversation, I'm losing track of the days here. I was just with MJD at Rams camp, and we were talking about, you know, Tua and the contract. And he said, you know, that's a lot of money, and you were just kind of going back and forth. And I said, MJD, then what do you do if you're Miami? You have all these guys that really premier offensive players, right? I mean, Tyreek Hill is as good as any wide receiver in the game right now. Jalen Waddle, like, they have guys. So if you think you're good, what are you supposed to do? You have to have the quarterback. You have to go and pay him. And if you, by the way, don't want to pay Tua and you move on, then it's a little bit of a crapshoot. Then you end up like, you know, insert team that's hoping that they got a guy. New England Patriots hoping that Drake May is a guy. You know, Chicago Bears hoping, you know, Caleb Williams is a dude. And it's not always the best place to be in. Just ask the New York Giants. I've been watching Hard Knocks. I'm a Giants fan. Like, you know, if Jaden was, you know, maybe available and they could have moved up, pretty clear to me they would have loved to have Jaden Daniels out there. But, you know, they're rolling with Daniel Jones at about $50 million, you know, per. So, I'm sorry, I'm rambling here and I'm going on and on, but the reality is, like, Brock is going to get paid because I think Brock is better than some of those guys and he's executed at a higher level. And if he goes and wins the Super Bowl this year, then what do? He's getting that paper.
Brock Purdy will make $985,000 this season. He could make $60 million next season. It just depends how high this stuff goes. Does this help explain why some teams like Denver take Bo Nix high in the first round, why Atlanta gets Michael Penix? I mean, these rookie deals, if you can strike on one, they can set you up for years.
Yeah, you get the extra year of control if you grab them in that first round, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The value proposition of those guys, I mean, you know, case in point, go through, and if you're, you know, a sports fan, you probably have just done this at home, but, you know, take out your phone and just Google, like, first-round quarterbacks over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years. The importance of having one is a game changer for your organization. And by the way, when you miss and you swing and miss, it's a problem. And that's why I think that's another layer to the Michael Penix situation. I'm actually going to be down in Atlanta with those guys on Friday. Yes, Friday. We're doing our training camp show down there. I can't wait to see these guys up close. We'll get an opportunity to talk to Kirk Cousins on NFL Network. But think about that. You have your guy now, right? Like, you have Kirk Cousins, who you hope is healthy, right, coming off of the Achilles, and is able to stay healthy during the course of the season. Reality is he might not. I mean, just playing the laws of averages here, you might see Michael Penix, but there's not pressure on Michael to be like the guy right out of the gate like there is on Caleb Williams. He gets to go and grow. He gets to be on the Jordan Love plan, and that might be a huge benefit for him in terms of play and then in terms of the cash down the road.
Talking to Mike Yam, NFL Network, also with the CW doing studio work. Yam, Trent Williams wants more guaranteed money. I have to think his agent is looking at Purdy next year and going, hey, we need to get this now before they commit to that. Brandon Ayuk is kind of passively holding out, but the Niners may or may not. You know, they have, I guess, some options with him. They could trade him. They could force him to play this year. They could also give him a big extension. You know, what happens with those two guys?
Trent Williams specifically is the one that concerns me the most. I think Brandon Ayuk will get the headlines because of the position at wide receiver. And Brandon's, he's a great player. We got to watch him up close and personal at ASU for all those years. And I think the world of his game. But, you know, I look around the NFL. And by the way, Brandon Ayuk should go and get paid. And the 49ers have made it very clear over the years that they take care of their own. And those deals typically get done. and they get done closer to the start of the season than they do, than they do getting closer to the start of the preseason. But Trent Williams, to me, is the stir that straws that drink. I mean, you just went and paid Christian McCaffrey, right? Like, Trent is still a top 2-3 left tackle in the NFL. And at his age, I get it. What is he? I think he's 36. So at 36 years of age, how many more years does he have? He's probably outside the top 5, maybe top 8, maybe even top 10. I haven't looked at the actual numbers in terms of payment at his position, and yet still one of the premier players in the game. If you look at the next-gen stats with Christian McCaffrey and his successful runs, like 95% of them are when Trent Williams is on the field and they're running that way. I mean, he's a game changer. He is like the walking moon out there. He is a massive human being. He's got to get out there. Brock Purdy wants him out there. That offense wants him out there. I think it is paramount that Trent is kept very happy. And I also think it's important for Brandon Ayuk. Like, this team has to win now. Like, this window is kind of, I don't want to say closing, I don't want to be dramatic about it, but my Lord, this roster is loaded. The AFC is really good. The NFC, a year ago didn't look as good as it does now. I think some of the teams that we had some questions about a year ago look a little bit better now than they did last season. I think this is an opportunity for San Francisco to run it back and try to get over the hump and win the big game.
I want to ask you about two other teams. One of them, of course, being the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix. What are the expectations for that franchise this season?
Still a rebuild. It's funny because Patrick Claibon, one of my buds at NFL Network, was at Broncos camp. We had him on our training camp show, and he was pretty clear that they are keeping it close to the vest here on what they're going to go in terms of who's starting, even getting first team reps. I mean, there's like a complete rotation right now of quarterbacks. And I think, to me, it signals, do I think Bo Nix is going to end up being the guy? Yes. I think when you go and you draft him where you do in this first round, having these questions, Zach Wilson is nice insurance, but the reality is, why not go with a guy that, has more college experience maybe than anyone else, that we've seen come out of school. The accuracy is there. I think there's still some questions with this roster, though. And when they were rolling last year, and Russell Wilson, had some really good games a year ago, I don't know if Bo's Russ. I don't think any fan should expect that. But I think this is going to be an uphill battle right now, and to the point where if I'm a fan of Bo Nix, I get a little concerned about what year one's going to look like for him.
Yeah, Justin Herbert gets a brand new coach in Jim Harbaugh. There's going to be a lot of attention on that franchise. I feel like Herbert is one of the big winners of the offseason. He got a coach, and he got somebody that will play a style that is conducive to his game. What do you think this season means for the Chargers and that fit with Herbert?
I want him to do well so bad. And I want that team to have success. I'm a huge fan of Justin, just in general as a person. Got to know him when he was in Eugene wearing that Ducks uniform. Thrilled that he got that massive contract. But I don't know how anyone looks at a wide receiver room that went from Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, knowing that Austin Eckler was coming out of that backfield. That's wholesale changes right now. Quentin Johnson, kid that they drafted in the first round last year, Josh Palmer certainly comes to mind. Like, these guys can play, but I don't know if Justin's throwing the ball 30 times this season. I just don't think that's reality. There is a dramatic shift. They were another team that we had eyes on our training camp show on Saturday on NFL Network, where you get the reports, and like there's so many. I just think the whole fit and philosophy changes. You mentioned Harbaugh, like, he's just a different dude just to begin with. Right. But it's all about running the football. Like, fans on the West Coast saw that up close. Like, he turned Stanford around. What was Stanford? Smash mouth football. That's what the Chargers are going to be. So it's going to feel different. But I think they have the luxury of having, like, Harbaugh's got like the best quarterback maybe he's ever had before in Justin Herbert, right? Like, I mean, I think there's like somewhat of an argument for that. He's going to be utilized for sure, but Greg Roman is their offensive coordinator. Where does Greg come from? Obviously, he comes from the Baltimore Ravens, and what we saw with, run the football first, and it sometimes limited the opportunities for Lamar Jackson as a passer. I think they have to utilize Justin appropriately, but I don't think Justin's throwing 30 times a game.
Yeah, I just think such a different fit, and you watch how You watch how the Michigan team or Stanford team played, and I think you're going to see run first, and then Justin Herbert, you know, in a comfortable situation, well protected, and it's been a formula for Jim Harbaugh. Mike Yam, NFL Network studio host. He's on the CW, among other places, on Twitter, Mike_Yam on Twitter. He's also written a book. It's called Fried Rice and Marinara. It's a favorite in our household. Our daughters love the book. You know, I bought a couple copies. I don't know if I told you that. I bought a couple copies. And we have enjoyed that book. So if you're looking for a great kid's book, Michael Yam's got it for you. How's the book doing, by the way?
Man, that honestly, it warms my heart. It makes my day. I can't thank you enough. Book's going great. Just finished the edits on book number two. Illustrations starting very soon. And that one has more of a little bit of a sports connection here. So a little bit of a teaser. So you and I obviously will keep touch. And as things sort of unfold here, I'll make sure I send you up a copy for the kids.
I love that. Mike Yam, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us.
You're the best. Thank you.
The book that he wrote was about growing up Chinese and Italian. And I got to be honest, like, you know, I've got two of those kids in our household, Taiwanese or Chinese and Italian. And so it's cool for them to kind of see that kind of book because the illustrations are, as we call them in our household, we call our own kids the halfies, who are half Italian and half Chinese or Italian or whatever you want to call them. So Yam writes the book and, you know, of course I got the book and kids are like, what is this? And I said, fried rice and spaghetti, basically. And they're like, oh, yeah, he gets it. But the fact that he's writing a second book means the first book must have done all right. As my 10-year-old pointed out, she says, you know, I only think they make a sequel if the original movie is good. I said, that is astute. And it's also why usually the sequel is not as good as the original. Anyway, the point being, Mike Yam, great stuff, NFL Network and the CW. Good insight, especially on the Niners. Leave it here.